Hey, what's up?
All right. So Arev, just interesting. Before we actually get into Mekadesh, Midin Arev, and how does Arev work? Right, here's the biggest problem with Arev is that you have guy A and B and C, right? And A gives B money, right? And C is the guarantor. So C has never actually received any money from A, right? But if B won't pay back, then C, right, is going to have to pay the loan that A gave to B. Now, the problem is that but C never took out a loan from A. So why can A collect from C if A lent to B, right? Which is a pretty reasonable, reasonable question. And and it's like, okay, well, let's chat. So I feel like, you know, there are a few different ways you could tackle that. Before we get it like into the Makoros, obviously, you know, some of the Makoros obviously take positions on that. But how can you explain the concept of a guarantor? Why should a guarantor be liable, right, for why would he have to pay for the loan if he never received it? Guess what do you think? Well, like, what are the options that we have to explain what's going on? You could also use like very much modern parallels, like what's going on contemporarily. There's a concept of a guarantor. Yeah.
Well, if you make the guarantor like really internal to the loan, like the loan is only taking place because of his presence, then he sort of becomes a part. Like it becomes more of a three-way transaction where the loan is taking place because there's an Arev there, and so that's roping the Arev into the loan.
Okay, yeah, amazing, right? Maybe just say, look, you know, in business transactions, you can have a business transaction with more than two parties, right? Let's say you have a company that's jointly owned. You know, Yair and I own a company, and we, you know, we were contracted to provide services to Natan. And then, you know, we don't do it, right? Who's liable, right? So both of us are, you know, Yair and I are the owners of the company. So we're both liable, right? You can have a business transaction that involves more than two parties, right? So maybe the guarantor is simply, he's the one who got this loan to happen. Maybe he's part and parcel of this loan, right? In which case, you know, you could just say like, it's a business deal. There's some sort of business interaction going on. And because it's being caused, this guy's a participant. So he's a participant just like anyone else. So if we sign a contract that says, you know, we're all going into business together, then, you know, whatever the financial terms of that agreement are, right, is a real business deal, is a real business transaction. You say, okay, it's just a three-way or a three-party financial transaction. Okay, that's one option. How could what Yair was saying could also be sort of twisted a little bit in a different direction. Same idea, right? That he's like really he's the one who caused this to happen. One way to look at this is like, okay, so he's really just you know, he's just a part of this business transaction. How else can you construe it? It's a little less like contract law.
The way that I had seen, like I said originally, when you first started learning about it, is that like ideally the guarantor is not even getting involved. It's kind of like a backup plan B. If the first person can't pay back, then get involved, almost vouching for that person. Maybe it's like a way to what's the word I'm looking for? To not persuade. I didn't hear what
we were saying. I was like insuring, like he's insuring.
Yeah. That was it. To insure. Yeah.
Okay, great. Exactly. Right. You could look at it as an insurance policy, right? He's really external. This is now what I was going to suggest within what Yair was saying. This is the other extreme, right? Jordy's saying, well, wait a second. Yair's saying, look at it as something internal to the loan. Jordy's saying, well, maybe you could look at it as totally external, right? But just because you're external doesn't mean you can't be, you know, can't have financial attachments because, right, maybe you just issued an insurance policy, right? If a tree falls on my house, so you can't, I can't say, oh, well, the insurer is, you know, he knocked over the tree, right? What was the insurer doing? Like hugging trees, you know, they're very eco-friendly and they weren't going to, I mean, this insurance company just pays people to go around hugging trees and it caused the tree to fall on my house, right? Obviously not, right? No insurance company is eco-friendly. And the fact is they have nothing to do with the tree, right? But they issued an insurance policy, so they're liable, right? Or they're not really liable, right? I'm covered by their policy. Okay, so in a sense, you know, liability or in general focuses more on, you know, so there's some involvement in the financial loss or the financial initiator of the later chayav mamon, right? But we're saying no, maybe they're totally external, but they issued an insurance policy, so they're obligated to pay, right? Regardless of their lack of interaction. Okay, what else? What other options do we have? Here's to summarize very, very quickly, right? Yair said, oh, one option is that it's really just like a three-way business deal, right? So they're all equal parties to this financial interaction. And that's why the Ariv is involved because he's literally part of this business deal. Right? Jordy said, well, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe he has nothing to do with it at all, but he issued an insurance policy, right? It's totally external to the actual debt. But if you issue an insurance policy to a debt, you're still going to have to pay up. Right. So even though it's not, you don't have the debt, you don't own the debt, you don't have anything to do with the debt, but you're an insurance company and you just issued an insurance. Right. Are there other options that can explain Dinariv? Those two are very good, right? Those are like pretty, you know, pretty good, straight up, like it gets like the two extremes. Not that.
Can you say, maybe too similar to the first, but that he's actually only really involved with one of the parties and it's kind of just al tnai on what something happens, he then has to pay someone money.
Okay. Which of the parties? That's interesting. I like what you're saying.
It could work both ways. Like either he is involved with the person that needs to take the money and it's like a separate deal between them two, or you can say it's involved with the guy that has to pay the money back and some shibuda de Rebbe Natan that he's collecting from the Arev and not from the Lover.
Okay, fair, right? You're saying one way to look at it, you can say it's external, like Jordy's saying. Jordy's saying it's an external relationship between, there's a relationship between the Malve and the Love, and there's a separate relationship between the Malve and the Arev, because the Arev is issuing an insurance policy. And Natan saying, well, maybe yes, but maybe instead of, you could also say that it's a relationship between the Arev and the Love, right? Maybe there's the Malve and the Love, the Malve lent to the Love, right? But the Love really has a relationship to the Arev has a relationship to the Love, right? Either as something like an insurance policy or something of the like. So it's still external, but maybe it's not really directly back to the Malve, but it's to the Love. Okay. Now, what possible, what nafkamina would there be between those two? Because it's both external, right? So why, what nafkamina would be there, whether he's issuing an insurance policy to the Love or to the Malve?
Over who can collect?
So possibly, right. What's the process of collection? Right. In terms of, it's hard to like say, well, wait a second. Right. Obviously, in any case, you have to go first to the Malove before you can collect from the Arev. Right. A bank can't say, oh, it's too much effort to go to the homeowner and make him pay his mortgage. So instead, we'll just go to the insurance company. I mean, they sort of do that, but, you know, that's not legal. Right. You first have to, in order to collect the insurance on something, right, it first needs to get wrecked. So you can.
Who goes to the insurance? The car that was wrecked, or the person that wrecked the person who did the wrecking, or the one that was wrecked?
Right. So okay, I hear that. Right. Who has to do the wringing of the hands? I would say also is the question of sort of the negia beidus stuff. Right. One of the nafkaminas that popped up. It's like towards the bottom of the daf Kora, so it's good. I'm probably not going to get to it today. But one of the nafkaminas, but how you view, how you view Arev is the Arev or the relatives of the Arev considered to be like Nogea B'davar, krovim to someone who's, you know, who's involved in the situation, on Eidos about the original halva. Okay? Right? A, you know, in between A and B come to court, and A says, I lent money to B, and the Eidim to that halva turn out to be, you know, the brothers of the Arev. And the Eidim say, yeah, there was a halva. Right? So they're testifying on something which could, well, so if you view the relationship between to be between the Malve and the Arev, then the Arev's relatives are Nogea B'davar and the Seidos, right? They're Krovim. If the relationship is between the Malve and the Love, right? And separately between the Love and the Arev, so they're not testifying anything about the Arev, right? Because originally, if the relationship between the Malve and the Arev, so Bepashtos, what we're saying, potentially what you could say is, okay, the Malve and the Arev, right, by testifying that there's a halva between the Malve and the Love, you're also testifying that there's an insurance policy between the Malve and the Arev, which they can't do. Right? Now again, maybe what you could do though is you could separate those Eidos and say, oh, they're Neman on the Eidos that there's a halva, but not on the fact that this guy's an Arev. Right? But that could be an issue. Rachel, what was your idea?
Oh, I was just thinking about the mechanism of how he gets involved, that he just vouches for the guy. It doesn't really change anything. Just like, how is he involved in the relationship because he's vouching for him? And I don't know if that says like insurance policy, external or internal, just.
Okay. Right. Yeah, right. What mechanism? You want to like throw out a mechanism idea? You don't have to.
Well, I'm just thinking of a word that one person used, of like amuna, like on his faith, or like on.
Okay.
On his word.
Right. It's a little bit like up in there, like, well, okay, but what's it? Just because you trust in someone.
Yeah, I can't really. Yeah.
So I was actually thinking, I mean, this is not so compelling, but I kind of like it because it sort of fits with that like language. For a couple of times, I kept saying like, oh, liability. Right? Now, liability isn't really so accurate, usually. I mean, you have liabilities on your balance sheet, but liability usually means that, like, nezikin-wise, like, you're liable because you caused damages, right? Liability can also be like, oh, debt, you have liabilities, right? But usually when we, like, the term liability comes with, like, the connotation of some sort of damages, right? So I'm thinking maybe the Arev has liability, right? He's the one who caused this halva to happen, right? And because of that, because he caused this halva to happen, so he's responsible to make sure that the Malveh doesn't lose out. Right? It was al emunaso that he lent it. So it's almost like an Ezekin idea. It's like a type of grumma almost that you're chayiv on. Are you convinced this guy to lend out money? Right, saying, oh, you're definitely gonna get paid back, don't worry about it. Right? So since you did that, it's like you're responsible to make sure he gets paid. At the end of the day, like, it's hard to explain how that would work as like an Ezekin thing, and you'd have to kind of turn it into an insurance policy sort of idea. But that was not kind of thing. It's more of almost like a liability that you made this loan happen and now I'm losing. Like, it's, you know, your fault and your responsibility. Right, it's almost like during the whole subprime mortgage crisis. So everyone's like, wait a second, you know, like, why don't we like claw back all of the, you know, the paychecks from all like the bankers who issued all these loans, knowing that they're terrible because like it's, you know, it's their fault. We gave all this money. We're all losing money because these guys said it was a good idea, and they knew it wasn't a good idea. You know, so sort of like, oh, are they legally responsible? They didn't have legal, you know, tort responsibility, but it's almost like, you know, at some point you just be like, that's it. Like, we trusted you guys. So now we're going to, you know, now we're like making you liable. Not sure how that works, but this is a bit of an issue with it. But again, like, and you know, it happened in America. And so clearly they found some legal basis to do that, to like create some sort of legal liability. So that's one option. All the way in the opposite extreme is what? But that's also something I was thinking within what Yaya was talking about. It's almost like it's because of you that this happened, right? So it's almost like you like go rain the Nasdaq. But maybe like a more extreme version of that, right, is what? What's like the most extreme internal option? How, yeah, like let's say you want to go all the way in. Let's say you want to say the Ariv is like totally, totally involved. Not like as in, like all the way up, you know, it was up to his eyeballs in it. How could you say that? Any ideas? Problem is that you kind of have to like switch the order at one moment. Okay, so a partner in the loan, how do you want to say a partner? What type of partner, Alex? Right? Because you can say he's an equal partner, right? He's like a participant. But you could say more than that. You could say he's not an equal participant. He's more than an equal participant. How can you say that?
Well, I thought Yair said this before, that because of him, there is a loan.
So okay. But why is he legally liable? Why is it like, why does he have to pay it? Not just like, not like, oh, he caused it or whatever. Like, say that he's totally, totally liable and it's like totally, it's obvious. It makes just perfect sense that he has to pay back the loan.
Maybe he's accepting upon himself debt in exchange for the loan happening.
Ah, okay. Good. You're trying to be very, very legal, which is good. I'm going to unlegal it for a second just to make it more easily understood. Maybe the person who's really taking out the loan is the Arev. Really, C is borrowing money from A and giving it to B. Right? Because A won't lend money to B, right? A says, I don't trust his credit rating, so I won't lend money to B, right? C says, oh, but you trust my credit rating, right? And A says, yeah, but you're asking me to lend money to B, right? So then C says, no, I'll back the loan. I'll guarantee the loan, right? So either it could be, oh, you know, I'm going to issue an insurance, or he's saying, no, you're really lending to me, right? And I am then furthering that loan to B, right? Now, I don't want to be saddled with the debt because we want B to pay it back because B is the one who's really using it, right? But really, A is lending money to C to lend to B. But we need to structure it so that B is the one who has to pay, right? So, because otherwise, what can happen? A can go to C, right, and ignore B, and then B and C have to deal with each other, right? So what we can do is A is giving it to B, right? But really A is giving it to C, the Arev, really the Malva is giving it to the Arev, and the Arev is then Kiviyachol giving it to the Love, okay? Now, if that's true, then the Arev is really up to his eyeballs in this halva, right? We didn't see him picking up the money, right? But he's got the money and now he's giving it to the other party. Okay. Now, so let's just look at just a couple makoros on Ari for a moment. And then we'll discuss the repercussions. You know, let's go straight to discussing the repercussions for Kiddushin for a moment. Okay. What are the repercussions for Kiddushin? And you hear you can mostly focus on just the two extremes, right? Is the Ariv like an internal participant or external? Which one's going to be easier to understand how you can Mekadesh Midin Arev?
He's external, I would think.
I was going to say the opposite.
No.
Okay, get it out.
Because if she's not receiving any hana, and that was like that was the assumption that she wasn't receiving any hana from this transaction. So just like an Arev, who's an outside insurance policy, is not really part of the transaction.
Oh, okay. Good. Interesting. That was very textual. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say if it's super internal, the loan is really involves her, then she's a real participant. And so there's, you know, she's exchanging debt and money with the husband to be. That's like, you know, basically real kiddushin.
Okay, perfect. So that was actually great. That was the perfect machlokas, right? Because you just came at it from two different angles, both of which are just really, really just actually very, very well reasoned. Right? Yair said, oh, conceptually, if I want there to be kiddushin midin arev, right? And I'm not actually giving her anything, so how am I mikadesh? So Yair says, well, if we think that arev is really internal, so then when he gives it, when, right, the malve gives it to the love, really what happens is either, right, they're partners. So he's giving it to the malve. The malve is giving it to the love and the arev, right? Or to the arev, who's then giving it to the love. So then there's kiddushin, right? Because the malve is giving it to the arev. So that he is giving her kiddushin. But we don't see the kiddushin, right? Okay, that's midin arev, right? Midin arev is that there's this triangle trade going on, right? Fantastic, right? Rachel's saying, but wait a second, right? Textually, what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara said, mekadesh midin arev, right? Afal pi delo matya hana liyada, right? He's not giving her hana, but nonetheless, it works. So Rachel is saying, well, wait a second, right? The language of the Gemara implies that even the Arev should be a problem because there's no Hana Liyada. He's not really giving her anything, but it still works. So it must be that in terms of the act, what he's giving is not really being going straight to her, right? But it still works because there's something external that's giving her external Hana, right? Now, that's great because... And that actually works right very well with what we were Bima Palpal on last year about the different implications in the Gemaras, right? As the, you know, how do you approach a segia in general, right? There are different ways to, you know, points to start from. On the one hand, conceptually, you want to say, well, wait a second, like, what makes sense? On the other hand, right, you want to look at the Gemara and see, like, how did the Gemara broach the topic, right? What language does it use? Right? What's the logical processes that you see going on in the Gemara? Right? So Yair is saying, well, conceptually, the way that makes most sense is to say that's internal. Rachel is saying, but the way textually, the way the Gemara presents it, right, makes it sound like it's external. So I think that's really great. I think that Gufa, right, explains a very big question in the Rishonim, which is, right, the Rishonim really take opposite approaches to the sugya of Mekadesh Midin Arev, and the question of all these sort of, you know, peripheral ways of giving kiddushin. And I think that's Gufa, right? They're potentially approaching it from that same different, like, Derech HaLimud, right? Are we looking for, oh, conceptually, what's going to make more sense, right? Or, are you, you know, textually, like, what vibe did you get from the Gemara? Okay, so just look, so the Gemara, so what is an Arev? Okay, so here we go. So Tosa says, this is Tosa Bab Metzia. V'chein b'zuzi, im nasan kuf zuzi l'adam, sheyachzir lehektesh me'a v'esrim, aser, okay? You can't give someone a loan so that they'll pay ribbis to hektesh, okay? You say, I'll give you $100. In return, you're going to give $120 to tzedakah. Or you're going to have $120 to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Nirda afilu midaraisa nirda. So it seems like it's mamish ribis gamor. Why? Dechashiv ki'ilu mekabel malve atzma. It's as if the malve is getting it. Why? right? Wait a second. I'm giving it to you to give to Hector, so I'm not getting it back. Kimo b'kidushin, tein mana l'ploni v'kadesh anilach, demikudash as midin arev, dechashiv ki'ilu kibla mimenu. Next, it says Tosos, how does Arev work in general, right? Arev works because it's as if you actually were given the money, right? How do I know that, says Tosos? And therefore what? Therefore it would be ribis doraisa, right? If you're getting ribis mi din Arev. So I says, I know it from Kiddushin, right? Why is she mikudashas? Can't be mikudashas if she's not getting anything. Right, so it must be that what mikudash b'tin arev dechashiv ki ilu kibla mimenu. We treat an arev as completely internal, right? And therefore, what it's as if we actually gave the money to her, the arev, and she then handed it over to this new person, right? Because an arev is essentially the man in the middle, right? So the middleman actually, right, is bridging between the two of them. Even though the money never stops in his rishas, okay. So Tosfos actually brings that as a raya to how the nature of arev. Okay, so this is the malve. The malve gives it to the arev. The arev then gives it to the love. Right. Okay. Right. Wait a second. I'm just pointing. This is in parentheses, but right. Wait a second. But the malve never actually physically handed it over to the arev. Right. So one way to explain that is the arev. Right, the malveh is the arev's shliach, or the loveh is the shliach of the arev to accept the arev's money from the malveh, right, and then give it to himself. That's one way to look at it. Right, the other way is that, right, the malveh is the arev's shliach to take the money that he's now accepting on behalf of the arev and give it to the loveh. Now, one other important point is that potentially you don't need arev at all, shlichus at all, right? It doesn't have to be that, oh, you say formally he's a shliach. You could explain it as actually, it's actual shlichus, right? They really are shluchim, right? That's the whole word of arev. But you could also say that arev, right, is like a parallel construct that, like shlichus, right, allows the malveh to accept the money, to give the money on behalf of the arev to the loveh, right? Just like we see by shlichus, you don't physically have to be doing it in order to legally be involved. Right, so here the malveh is giving it to the arev, who's then giving it to the loveh, even though the arev doesn't actually pick up the money in the middle. Okay, option number two, right, all the way on the other side of the stream, arev lav afalgav de lo mati hana liyade mishtabed pirish lav lemimra de lo mati le shum hana de imkain b'may mishtabed. Right, it's a shibud. Right, the verse says not that he's getting the money, ella what? He's not getting the money that the malv is giving, right? So it's not like Tosfos. He's not getting any money, right? We disagree with Tosfos. It's not that the malv is giving the arev money and the arev is giving it to the loveh. Right? He creates an obligation. Right, a financial obligation. What? Demati lehal shahalov hilvel ze al emunato. Right, because this guy lent on his word, he created a monetary obligation. Right, based on that hana that he's getting paid, he's getting something in return. Right, and in return, he's giving an insurance policy. Right. Mishtabid behana de matile shehilva leze alemunato. Right? Wait a second. Parentheses, unspoken question of the Ritva, or spoken, because he said it over here. Right? How can you be mishtabid if he's not getting anything? Right? Imkain b'may mishtabid if lo matile shom hana. How do you give an insurance policy if you never paid for it? Right? What's the amazing thing about insurance policies? What happens if you forget to pay your yearly premium, right, the week before the tree falls on your house? Right? Forget to pay your car insurance, and then you get into a car accident, and the car insurance won't pay anything. So you have to be paying your premiums in order to get an insurance policy. So how could you have an insurance policy here, says the Retzva, right? How could you have a shibud if you didn't get anything? Now, he's saying, obviously, you didn't get the money, right? So Tosfos says, what do you mean? You owe the money because you actually got the money. The Retzva says, you didn't get the money, right? Lo higia liyadu shel ariv lo kasef lo shava kasef, right? There's no internal relationship to the actual money that's moving hands. Afilu hachi mishtabid behana dimati leishah hilvel zal munaso. The insurance premium is that you're getting, that you're being trusted, right? And he's doing the, you this favor, right? Based on your word, he's lending, right, $1 million to this, to be, to the lovet, right? And that hana, right, is b'chol duchta chashuva kikesef. Hana translates directly into kesef. Okay, it's an important dagesh, right? When we talk about hana, what do we care about? Do we care about hana, right, as we saw in the Rambam, or do we care about kesef, as we saw in Tosos, right? Tosos says that when we talk about hana, what we're really doing is we're converting the hana into kesef, and you're giving over money. The Rambam says you're not giving over money. When you give over money, you're giving over hana, right? So for the Rambam, it was all about hana. The Ritz are saying, yeah, right? Hana, of course, converts into kesef. So you're giving over kesef, right? You're being paid for this insurance policy, and therefore, you're mishabed with this external premium, right? Of which converts into of hana, which converted to kesef for your insurance policy. So Tosfos saw the whole thing, right? Externally. I'm sorry, internally. Tosfos said the whole thing was internal to the halva. Really, it went from the malve to the arev to the love. The Ritva is saying, right now, right? There are really two separate financial interactions going on. The malve, right, is lending to the love. The arev is insuring that interaction, right? And the malve is paying for that insurance policy through hana, which is kesef, which he is providing to the arev, right? So the love, the malve is loaning the love. That's one deal. Simultaneously, the arev, the malve is paying with hana for an insurance policy to the arev, and the arev is, right, is insuring this loan. Now the love and the arev have nothing to do with each other, right? If I take out a loan from the bank, and separately there's an insurance company that takes out, that insures my loan, I have nothing to do with them, right? I think. Right? So the Tosfos said it's totally internal, and the Ritva is saying it's totally external. Okay. Now, what's cool, Rambam, hold on a second, let's go check. Yeah, but it doesn't matter, right? Alex is asking why is the fact that the Arev is technically the transfer of the money going to matter if he's not getting Hana, right? I think the answer is you don't need, if I borrow $1 million from you, right? And it gets hit by lightning, so I didn't get any hana, right? At the end of the day, right, that doesn't change the finances of it. I think, you know, I think the question of whether or not you benefit from it, or I don't know, here's like an interesting, right? Let's say you do all sorts of interesting financial processes, right? Not because you necessarily want to make money, but because you want to, you know, I don't know, destabilize the currency, or you know, mess over like massive hedge funds, right? And you're doing it literally just to show that you can, right? It doesn't change the validity, and the shibudim created. At the end of the day, right, what you're doing is legally valid. So here the arev, right? For all that he's not benefiting from this interaction, right? He is, at the end of the day, the person who took out the loan. Now he might be he's a tzaddik and he wants to help out the love, right? But he took out a loan, which he then passed on to someone else, So since the loan is really in his name, he's the one who's liable. Right? Now, the Ritva has to ask, wait a second, what's the Ariv getting out of it? Because he sees it as something external, and it's like an insurance policy. So, you know, where's the insurance policy? Right? Where's the premium? Where do we see that there is an insurance policy? For Tosos, you don't need to get there because we're just saying that the actual halva was to the Arev. He's the one who got the money. He just passed it on to the Love. Okay? Now, the Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam says that that an Arev is just like a purely it's just like a purely personal responsibility that you've accepted upon yourself. Okay? Now, that's really cool. He just says, like, well, you accept it upon yourself as a chiyuv, right? Mechayiv atzmo b'mamon la'acher below t'nai klal, afal pi shelo hayachayiv lo klum harei zechayiv, right? It's right. Why? And then he goes into a few cases, and then Danny says, why? Because harei chiyuv atzmo kimoshim shtabeit ha'arev. At the end of the day, right? You could just create. You could commit to a financial responsibility simply by committing to it, right? And that commitment in and of itself creates a financial responsibility. And that it doesn't have to be based on any sort of monetary transaction, right? The RIT, now in some sense, it's sort of like the RITVA, because the RIT is saying, oh, right, it's external. The Ram is also saying it's external, right? The RIT just simply committed to backing this loan. But unlike the Ritva is convinced that in order for it to be an insurance policy, it needs to actually, right, be something that, you know, fits the standard rules of financial markets and has to be FCC approved and you know, FDIC approved and all those things they mumble at the end of banking commercials. And you really actually need to pay a premium for this insurance policy. And if not, then you never actually had a real genuine business deal, right? You never had a real business interaction. According to the Rambam, it's not a business interaction, right? It's more, it's almost more of, you know, like your classic personal commitment, just like, you know, almost like a neder and a shvuah, right? You said it, you committed to it. And if you commit to something, then it's, you know, then it's mechayev, right? And it creates a monetary obligation. But, right, there's no monetary interaction between them. Okay? Now that really gives us, I think, a bit of an interesting pickle. Because on the one hand, you can say, oh, well, there's some monetary interaction. There's some monetary obligation, right? But at least for the Ritva, you could argue that, you know, well, Kiddushin is happening on the basis of, you know, this financial interaction that happened. According to Zalman, there's no financial interaction, right? It's a purely, there's no quid pro quo. It's a purely yesh me'ayin his chayvus. So in Kiddushin, if she is the arev, so she basically just created, you know, a monetary obligation to someone else. But how are you going to be mekadesh with that, right? At least according to the Ritva, you could say, well, she's creating a monetary obligation, right, based on the, you know, based on something that she's getting in return. There's like a financial interaction. Maybe we could view that financial interaction of which created the insurance policy and paid the premium as like Kesef Kiddushin or something. For the Rambam, you can't do that because there is no premium, right? It's not even an insurance policy that you're issuing. You're simply committing to do it, right? I don't know. It's almost like more like an international treaty than an insurance policy, right? It might be binding, but it's not actually going to be subject to, you know, financial metrics because there's no financial interaction. Okay. Okay, it's fine. So just the sikum, right? Tosus basically says it's ki'ilu kibe hamaos. It's as if the money actually went through the Arev. The Ritva says it's there's a financial interaction but an external one of like an insurance policy. And then I'm just his personal, just a personal obligation. Okay. Now, what is the cool nafkamina? What if the Edim are related to the Arev? Okay. Ilav etuvia krevi de arvo havu. Okay. Bob and Jim were relatives of the guarantor. Right. They were made on a loan. Sever of Papa Lemimar, Gabe Love Umalve Rechikin. Or if Papa says, they're not related to the Malva or the Love, right? So they're fine Edim. Amrle Rafuna Brother of Shua of Papa. Right? If the Love can't pay up, who are they going to go to? Right? The Malve is going to go and collect from the guarantor. And therefore, right, there's a problem. What's that problem? Okay? There are two possible problems. It could be a fundamental problem. Right? What would the fundamental problem be? It would be a very fundamental problem. If the Arev really is standing in the middle, then Bob and Jim are being made that their brother, right, the Arev took out a loan, which he then handed over to the Love. In which case, they're really testifying about a loan to their relative, the Arev. If the Arev is external, right, so then they're being made that there's a halva from A to B, right, and the fact that, you know, there is an insurance policy on the loan is sort of irrelevant to us right now, potentially, right? Because it's external, right? Okay, so Rashi says, now, what would the problem still be? Because there'd still be an important problem. If there's an insurance policy, when would that really, really matter? Let's say the Lova defaults, right? If the Lova defaults and these guys are witnesses to the halva, then they're also being made on something which is going to lead to a direct financial repercussions to the insurance policy, right? So if I testify that, this car is worth whatever, right? And it happens to be my car that just got totaled and now the insurance company has to pay me, so I'm no gabadaver, right? So what are these guys being made on? Are they being malvin on the halva or on the piraun? Are they saying that the debt is still owed? Or are they saying that there was a loan at some point? So Rashi says they're being made on the halva, okay? Now, they're not saying that it was paid back or not paid back. They're saying that there was at some point a halva between A and B, right? So according to Rashi, it sounds like it's an internal problem because, right, we're passing these Edim Lamaskana, even though they're just testifying on the fact that there was a loan, right? They're not saying anything that means that the Arev is going to have to pay up. Now the Ramban says, I don't get it. Pirsh Rashi, Shahiwe de Halva, Vaharaived Kasav, Shetanoseim al iske piron. The Rebbe says it has to be about the piron, about whether or not it was actually paid up. Why? Now, the Arev is now putter from paying back because the Love says, I paid back the Malve. So the Malve can't collect from the guarantor. And the lender then brings Edim that he wasn't paid back. Vinimsa ha'arev mischayev lefaro, and now the arev, right, needs to pay up. Ela shayu ha'edim krovim la'arev, but the edim who say that he was never, that the borrower never paid the lender are relatives of the guarantor. V'zeh ha'perush yoser nachon u'mechuvar. Why? She'im hayu edi ha'va v'amru sheruvin hilva l'shimon v'levi arev, v'levi zetoen v'omer lo hayu edvar me'olam, lama lo hayneman l'gabe shimon, below the Gabe Levi, my Indian Zelaze. So Ramban says, what do you mean? We'll just take Levi out of the picture. Yeah, we don't trust, right? We don't trust the Edim that their brother is the guarantor, right? Because they're Krovim, but we can trust them about everything else, right? You can be made that I took out a mortgage without saying that I also took out an insurance policy on the mortgage, right? Or that the bank took out an insurance policy on the mortgage, right? If I have witnesses to one without the other, right? The first part's still enforceable. So let's just ignore the Arev, right? We have two, according to right, we saw in the Ritva, there are two totally distinct financial interactions going on. There's a loan and there's an insurance policy. So it says the Ramban, of course, we would, if we have Edim who are kasher Edim about the loan and they happen to be, you know, Krovim about the insurance policy, so we'll accept their testimony on financial interaction A and we'll ignore them about interaction B. They can testify there's a loan. They can't testify that there's an insurance policy, and that's perfect. That's fine, right? Ma'inyan zelazeh. Now, if the arev is gufa, right, part and parcel of the halva, then of course, right, yesh inyan zelazeh. Because when you say that there's an arev, what you're really saying is that what? Is that A, is that the lender lent money to the guarantor who then lent it to, right, the borrower. In which case, you can't be meyed about this halva without being meyed about their brother, the guarantor. Because what they're really being talking about is what financial one financial interaction that the lender lent to the guarantor, who then lent to the borrower. Right? Hechi amrinan begamara lav basar arva azil. And you can't even say that practically, if it's an external insurance policy, there's a problem. Because at the end of the day, he's still going to have to pay up, right? Because he's the guarantor. So even if they're just being made about the halva, since he's the guarantor to that halva, their edus will lead him to ending up having to pay. Because that's not true. Because we would throw, right? Lama atakori aso arev. Atu imamru shnaim ruven halva l'shimon mana, l'levi mana, v'hin kurovin l'levi, nusan l'gabi shimon. V'nam ilha adamia, right? Let's say there are two separate loans, right? And he says, oh, Bob lent money to Reuven and to Shimon. Okay. So, and they happen to be brothers with Shimon. So we'll ignore them about Shimon and we can still enforce the loan to Reuven. Hanami l'hadamia. Vada yafa kivin harayvich amar shekvar noda be'idim achirim sheze arev leze ela shahalove toein parayti alze amru lav basar arva azil delo efshar l'meimar delo parale ela imkein ata mechayev ha'arev. Right? It's Makesha, the Edim are about the Halva. So there are no Edim to the Arev. Right? So they, what they say has nothing to, no impact on him practically, because their Edus is irrelevant and Pasol Lagabe him, because there's no Edus that he's an Arev at all. Right? And it's a totally external in financial interaction. Right? The Arev is off issuing an insurance policy to a debt that exists independent of him. Okay, so it's not exactly, you know, big nafkamina of whether or not it's internal or external, right? Because Rashi says they can't even testify that A lent B money, even if we ignore the fact that C is the Arev, right? Because at the end of the day, what they're really being made to is that A lent C money, who then handed it over to the borrower. Fine. What about Kiddushin? You know, should we start? Okay, yeah, I think we'll start the implications for Kiddushin, which is, right, if it's Kiddushin, how does it all work out? So Tosa said what? Why is there Kiddushin? So Tosa, it doesn't necessarily help us 100% understand Tosa's perspective on what you need to do by Kiddushin. Although I think it helps be Karon, but Tosa says, look, you don't even have a question, right? You can't be medayik too much from Tosa's approach to Arev by Kiddushin, because Tosa says that there's no problem by Arev by Kiddushin, right? For Tosa, it's just so easy. It's just like, what do you mean? The Arev gets it and then hands it over to the other person. So when he's Mekadesh Harmidin Arev, Kivyachol, right, in our halachic, through our halachic spectacles, right? He gave her the Arev money, and now she is passing it on to someone else. If he gives her a ring at the chuppah, right? And afterwards, she goes to her mother and says, you know, I know that the wedding was super expensive. You know, here's my ring. You can melt it down and use it to pay the caterer or something, right? I don't think he'll appreciate it very much, but he gave her the money, he gave her the kiddushin, then mekudeshet. What she does with it afterwards is irrelevant, right? She can even throw it into Mount Doom, as we've seen, and it'll still be safek kiddushin, right? If she said hara mekudeshet and she accepted it. So, okay, fine, right? So Tosos, you're just transferring it after she receives it. Okay. Now Rabbi Chananel says what? Kivan de'ika ha'gavna ha'arev chayev l'shalim. Since an arev, in the parallel case, by a loan, would be chayev l'shalim, right? Kiman de'kabil hu biyadav dami. Okay, it's as if he actually picked it up with his hands. Hachanami amrinan dibura tein leploni kabalahi. Okay. Is Rabbeinu Chananel saying the exact same thing as Tosfos? Or maybe something a little bit different? Okay. Now, what are they saying that's the same? Bikaro, I mean, there's very broad strokes, right? They're very similar. Because what are they saying? Right? It's definitely internal, right? How do we, in terms of the Arev Sugya, how do we view an Arev? Tosfos and Rabbeinu Chananel are both saying the Arev is totally internal to the Halva, right? Really what happens is the Malve, the lender, is giving it to the guarantor who then gives it to the borrower, right? That's both Tosfos and Rabbeinu Chananel are saying that in terms of an Arev, okay? Now, what's interesting is that Rabbeinu Chananel really makes a very big, like, as I mean, you know, Himash underlined it in Rabbeinu Chananel here, right? It's bolded and underlined. So it's clearly he thought Rabbeinu Chananel thought it was very important. He adds in, it's not simply, right, that it's like the Arev got it. It's as if the Arev picked it up, you know, and got it with their hands and handed it over, right? Hachanami Yamrina Dibura Tein Leploni Kabalahi. Right? It's as if their Mekabel Biadayim, right? They picked it up and then handed it over. Okay? Now, what's important about that is that we have three main options how we can explain the Maisa Nesina in Kiddushin. Right? The Rambam said it's about Nisinas Hana, right? Rashi said it was about the Maisa Nisina. And Tosfos said, and the Ritva said it was about Nisinas Kasef, right? It's about Nisinas Kasef, Shokinian. And the Rambam said it's about giving over Hana. Rashi said it's about the Maisa Nisina itself, right? The actual act of giving. And Tosfos thought it was about doing, you know, giving over Kasef, and Kasef Shokinian. Tosos here, its emphasis, is open, right? He says it's as if the Arev got it. He doesn't emphasize, say, oh, it's as if he actually got it physically, or if he got it in his hands. Right? He just says it's as if the money went through the Arev. Okay? Now that works. For Hanal purposes, and it could work for everything, right? Because the Arev just got it. But the way Rabbeinu Chananel formulates it is that Dafka, it's as if he got it in his hands. And therefore, it's as if she got it in her hands. Which opens up the possibility to say it's not only, right, that, oh, Mekadesh B'Arev works because, what do you mean, he gave her the Kiddushin, right? But it's that he literally gave her the Kiddushin. Right? It opens up the possibility to say that Arev actually has a Maisa Nesina. Even though we see that there's no physical Maisa Nesina, right? But legally, right? Kiman dekabil hu biyadav dami. Because we don't, at the end of the day, by shlichos, we don't need the person to physically pick it up, right? Her shliach can pick it up. So Arev, right? Just like shlichos, is going to count as if she actually got it in her hands. In which case, there's even a Maisa Nesina. Now, why am I excited about this in Rabbeinu Chananel? Because Rabbeinu Hananel, on the sugya of Hanas Milve, has a very, very strange shita. Jordy, did you get to that?
We were speaking about it in, like, you're thinking the Chabur this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, well, what does Rabbeinu Hananel say about Hanas Milve? Sorry for putting you on the spot.
It's all good. If I remember correctly, I think he said that you, like, for extending, like, she would have to physically give it back to him, and then he would have to give it back to her.
Exactly.
Like, it'd have to be at the time that the debt was due.
Right? The Rabbeinu Hananel says, like, Hanas Milve, you can't just waive the loan. That's not good enough, right? You're waiving a loan is very nice, right? It's very polite, but it doesn't count. You're not giving her anything, right? What you need to do is that she would actually have to give him the money and he would have to give it back to her and extend the loan that way. Why? Right? And the answer is because Rabbeinu Hananel thinks, like Rashi, that you actually need to do a mice and a sina. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel, more than Rashi, seems to think that you might really need a ma'aseh nesina, and something that's legally considered a ma'aseh nesina. Now, there has to be something that's being given. So, by a halva, by hanas harvach hazman, it would need to be, you'd actually have to hand over the money and give it back so that he could do some sort of ma'aseh nesina. And when it comes to an arev, you'd have to say that legally, the arev is actually doing a ma'aseh nesina, right, from the malve to the love, in which case the malve actually gave it to the arev, and the arev actually got a ma'aseh nesina of kiddushin in the case of mekadesh midin arev. Okay, so Tosfos and Rabbeinu Hananel are both saying that the arev is totally internal. I think Tosfos, if they're following Lishitasam, which I think they will, I think they do, sees it as internal, and therefore there's nesinas kasef and kinyan to the arev. Right? He's giving the money. He's transferring the money to the arev. The arev, therefore, got money, and that's kasef shalkinyan. Rabbeinu Hananel just takes it a step further, and he says it's not just that it's as if the money was given, right, or transferred to, or lent to the arev, but it's as if the arev actually picked it up, biyad av dami, right? It's mamash dekabel hu biyad av dami. Okay. Now, the Ritva, who holds, like Tosfos, we saw, about the question of Kiddushin, right? We saw that the Ritva says, just like Tosfos, that you need Kesef Shalkinian, right? And you need to give over actual Kesef, and we convert Hana into Kesef, right? In order to create Kiddushin, because Kiddushin needs to be done with Kesef Shalkinian. So, right? Okay, good. He's like Tosos, except that by Arev, he doesn't agree with Tosos, we just saw, right? He doesn't think it's as if it went through the Arev. He thinks it's an insurance policy, right? So what what the Ritva says, which is actually still, is very geshmak, right? He says like Tosos that you need a Kesef Shalkinian, but by Arev, he thinks there is no Kesef Shalkinian in the sense that the money doesn't go through the Arev at all. Right? The Arev simply is contracting an insurance policy for the Malve. So how's their Kiddushin? Where's the Kesef Shalkinian? Right? You need a real financial transfer of money. So the answer, though, is actually Gishmak, because he says, well, how did you get that insurance policy? Right? Because there was a secondary transfer. There are two transfers of money going on. Right? Right, kesef hana converts to kesef. The premium for the insurance policy, which he's not going to actually enforce, right? She never has to pay up. Miu kol mikudesh zamina mishmaitzin haynu kisha amar hu sha amar la hare mikudesh li be oso hana shanatati leploni mana bidiburech. They're only married, says the Ritva, if what? If he explicitly says, I'm being Mekadesh with the Hana of the insurance, of the premium for the insurance policy. Because the actual money he's giving is not actually being given to her at all. So says the Ritva, unlike Tosfos, right, in Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbeinu Hananel on the Ritva says, you could just say, she says, oh, give the money to Bob. And he says, okay, right, Mekadesh, but the money that I gave to Bob. He's not giving her the money. He's giving it to Bob. The money that he's giving to Bob is really going through her, says Tosos and Rabbeinu Hananel. Says the Ritva, you can't say that. You can't say Harei Mekudeshes with the money that I'm giving to Bob, because I'm giving that money to Bob. You have to say Harei Mekudeshes with the premium of the insurance policy. Right? And if you don't, if there's no Kisha Amar Hu, Harei Mekudesh has be'oso hana shenatati leploni mana bidiburech. You can't say be'os be'hahi hana, right, that I gave money to Bob. That's me be'hahi hana that I gave money to Bob because you told me to, right, i.e. the insurance policy premium. Right? Okay. I'm going to stop here. Right? But just let's go here. Right? According to the Ritva, since the Malveh has one interaction with the Loveh that has nothing to do with the Arev, you can't be Mekadesh with that at all, right? Just that the Malveh is also giving the Dimei Bituach, as we call it in Israel, right? The insurance policy premium to the Arev. So if you have to explicitly say, Harei Mekudeshesli Behahi Hana, that I am, that with the insurance policy premium that I'm giving you, right? That's my Pruta that I'm being Mekadesh with. So the Ritva and Tosos agree about Kiddushin, they disagree about Arev. So the Ritva says you have to formulate it totally differently, and it's using totally different Kesef. Okay, so we're going to stop here. So we're going to go over time.